Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. Anna Popovich returns to Central Ohio for a show at Natalie's on Sunday, April 26th. Whether you're hearing this podcast before or after that performance, thank you for spending some time with Music Journeys. Anna likes to say she's a citizen of the world, that one place just can't hold her for all the time. In terms of music, one genre won't do either, as she incorporates a wide range of influences. Her most recent release, Dance to the Rhythm, brings dancing into her guitar playing. Just ahead on Music Journeys, Anna shares the inspiration for her latest material and reflects on how her love of music began, learning to play guitar, and some of her favorite collaborations. Anna Popovich, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Anna Popovich, and this is my music journey.
This love that I have for you is right where I want to be. I'm not trapped, I'm not subdued, and I'm not just passing through. I wanna dwell on the feeling. That's all I wanna do. Yeah, I wanna dwell on the feeling of you.
Dwell on the Feeling is the one on this record. People just love it. They are crazy about it. It's a slow blues that's connecting some gospel background vocals and still being blues, and it's a modern subject but still old-fashioned in a way. So they just love that. And then there's been a few points. I want to have a shuffle on the record. I want to have a rootsy stomping blues on the record. Although I'm going to put modern lyrics over it, you're still going to feel the roots. But the rest is experimentation. You know, there's been some dance tracks on this last record, which I thought dance and guitar never go hand in hand. Well, I want to change that. And of course, as a closure of the night, it's amazing. And people love to dance and just go into the party mood. So we just did a tour in Europe and it's amazing, you know, and I love to see these people that come and see blues and rock concerts and guitar concerts just right. Okay, we can do this. We can have a dance track at the end of Anna's show. And I mean, I want them to be open-minded and experience all of it.
Anna, I wonder if you could share how the love of music began for you. What are some of your earliest memories?
Oh, it is as early as I can remember, because my household was filled with music, and we used to do all our daily chores with music in the background. So later on, nightly jam sessions and a lot of vinyl, great records being played throughout the day, good music and loud music. So yeah, it's going as back as I am, you know. I was born in Belgrade, Serbia, and I was there until I was pretty much 20, 22. And I was listening musically. I was in America already, because we never listened to any Serbian music at home. And we only listened to American blues, soul, funk, rock, wide range of all different types of music. And when I was 22, I moved to Amsterdam to study music. So that did open me up to a lot of new music, you know, because I was studying jazz and I was studying world music in an amount of 3 years before I really couldn't commit to it anymore because I was already touring so much. But in these 3 years of me studying in Utrecht and Rotterdam, I really, you know, got to enjoy jazz and fusion and all kinds of different music that kind of opened my horizons. I moved to America in 2012, but I was playing here ever since 2000. So I would come here, tour a lot, and go back. And I lived in Amsterdam. So, you know, it's a story of my life. I have multiple homes. I love calling different cities home. I have a home in Amsterdam. I have a home in Los Angeles. I have a home in Detroit. And of course, Belgrade, where I grew up. So I love to move around and I love to inhale music, local music, and how musicians play. Locally, I recorded a bunch of the stuff here in Detroit. We have a studio close by. I recorded some in Redondo Beach. A lot of it. It's a small studio close to my home, and I just love the change and the mix of different styles.
You attribute that because music is such a, you know, it's such a powerful connecting force that you're just able to, you know, blend in and mix in with the help of music.
Yeah, this has been a guide for me for my whole life. Music's been a guide somewhere. It's almost like a haven for me. This is where I come to terms with just myself. You know, I have a family, I have two kids, but when it's about what do I like, this is what I want to do. In my free time, what do you want to do? Well, I want to fill up my time with, okay, today I'm going to record in Michigan because I feel that vibe. And then maybe next month I'm going to feel more Los Angeles vibe. I like that studio for certain things. I'm going to go there. I'm going to write some songs here. There's so many things you can do when you're in Europe, and I love to inhale that European old world vibe. Also for songwriting, and just it's a complete different world, as you know. So, I mean, I just enjoyed. I always been a I would say citizen of the world. So one place wouldn't hold me for all the time, for sure.
I like that.
Yeah.
I want to dig into your latest release. Up to this point, maybe from your catalog, what are some of the, I don't know, maybe songs, albums that you're most fond of to this point?
Yeah, well, I really love Dance to the Rhythm, and I really love Power. And I love Trilogy because I put so much work into Trilogy and I really produced it the way I wanted to. And that's musically, those three are probably musically where I want to be. And of course, I love all my records. You know, there are songs that I won't play necessarily. There are songs that I will, but I know that all of them got equal amount of attention from me, and I haven't made one record where it was like, oh, well, let's just put 10 songs on. Let's just put whatever's left over. I need to do this. No, it's been always a long process of thinking about what to do, thinking about what my audience haven't heard yet from me, thinking about how I can evolve as a musician, as a songwriter, as a guitar player, as a composer, you know, so it's all been carefully managed, every record. But if you ask me to choose, then I just did. So
You mentioned the word evolve, and that's a great launching point. You know, you've been at this a while. How do you think you've evolved? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel?
well, I just let myself be who I am on every record, and at the same time, not just relax sitting on a couch and let's be who I am. No, you put in the work to learn new stuff, to maybe be acquainted with new stuff and new styles of music. I like to do what I really think I can handle, and but it gotta be for me always a new challenge. You know, I don't want to stay where I was on the latest record. So I really want to expand, and I love having the feedback of the fans that's been with me for 25 years, and I have it on every record. They keep coming back. They remember still the old stuff. They enjoy the new stuff. They see the line of where it evolved and which direction, and they are so eager what I'm gonna do next, and they're like full of anticipation. participation. That's really a reward. I think that's the reward where you connect with your fans that's been with there literally back in 2000, and they still are eager to hear everything new that's coming. And everything on every record is different. You know, I mean, it's still me, I think, and I still on every record try to give people a great slow blues. That's been my quest on every record.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, you just touched on it a bit, but Dancing to the Rhythm, latest release, really outstanding effort. How would you, you know, kind of characterize the songs on here, what they represent for you?
I would think they are modern. They are soul, blues, gospel, rock and dance and funk all in one. And they got some amazing lyrics. I think they are full of hope. I think this record is full of hope, I would say. It's just a positive thing in these crazy times. It's crazy times all over the planet. It does call for unity. It is on a positive, trying to make this world a better place and trying to live together, which is the most important thing, because it's been just crazy atmosphere all over the globe. Yeah, everything from love songs, friendship songs, songs about time, songs about this world we're living in, but put in some serious grooves, some serious good grooves. Worktop is a great rock, you would say rock, funk, heavy groove kind of a song that people love. 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, of course. I knew that before I put it on the record, and it's our only cover, and it's incredible. Paul Simon, that is going into some very unpredictable place.
And I realized he probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy. Just set yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and set yourself free. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy. Just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just jump on the key and set yourself free.
And it's kind of a jammy, and it's old school at the same time. It's got this Allman Brothers Band kind of vibe. Shown off, of course, a big, thick groove.
Say, let's get with it.
Let's get with it.
We'll be over the moon tonight. As long as the vibe is right. Go ahead and roll the dice. You only live once. Don't think twice.
We came here to stay all through the night. Now one, two, step. Shuffle to the left.
Stuff, cut loose, throw away them cuffs.
That's right.
Out of sight, blowing up like dynamite.
Show now.
Shake your stuff, cut loose, throw away them cuffs.
That's right.
Out of sight, blowing up like dynamite. Like dynamite, show now. Out of sight. Like dynamite, show now.
Yeah, that's the one I didn't write, but I loved the demo so much. When I got it, I was like, you know, I want this. It hasn't been recorded before. It's a songwriter that I work with and that I worked on some other songs as well on the record. You know, when I heard the demo to that song, and I remember I was on the blues cruise and I couldn't stand in my cabin. I just wanted to burst out of wherever I was I put the headphones on and I went all the way up to the highest deck. You know, there's like 13 floors where nobody is. Well, there were some people passing by and probably thought, what the hell is wrong with her? What did she take something or what? And I just danced for an hour and a half. Now, this is a demo of the song. And I just thought, you know what? I don't care what else I put on the record, but I'm gonna put Show Enough on the record.
Oh, that's so wonderful. To follow up on the dance and guitar, what are you trying to do there, and why is that? You know, we don't always associate, like you said, you're right, the guitar and dancing.
Well, you know, Nile Rodgers is the one of the guitar players that really kind of cracked the code, although it's usually really groovy in its rhythm. I'm trying to incorporate the solo into the dance, which of course needs a certain measures, right? You need to have the right phrasing that's going to fit the track, and you don't want to disturb the dance too much because the dance audience wants to come there and listen to the track. So as with anything else, I'm always in the service of the song. So I'm gonna place my guitar solo in the service of the song, and that's been on all my 15 records that I've done. That means I'm not going to overplay, I'm not going to show off, I'm going to play a great solo, and it's going to be in the service of a song. And it's just fun, you know, fun because I love dance clubs. I love to, you know, that's my free time. When I'm not on a tour, I'm gonna go to a dance place in wherever, Europe, in Amsterdam, in Ibiza or whatever, and dance all night long. And I never hear guitar, and I'm like, I want to hear guitar. I want to hear the guitar solo, you know. But yeah, you gotta be careful with how you phrase those solos.
Well, I love the phrase you had there, in service of the song. Is that just a feel that you have based on what you're playing? How do you know what fits with what?
Well, it is, you hear people, you know, it's a guitar player thing, I guess. You want to show off and you want to play all over the track, or you're not in the pocket with the song and you're just shredding playing those licks, right? And every time I hear that, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. If anything, I want to play less than necessary, but certainly not more than necessary. So if there is a certain groove, you got to phrase those notes to really lock in with what the rhythm section is doing.
That's fascinating for somebody that has no skills at playing anything, but loves the listening part of it. You do make the guitar look easy to play. Did it come natural and easy for you? What did you go through a hard time learning it?
I did. You know, for me, it was I wasn't, and I say it now as well. I'm not one of those kids that's so super talented and gets it right away. I see it with my kids. Oh my gosh, if I had their ears and if I could sing the way they sing naturally, I would be, oh wow, I would be somewhere else, I'm sure, in my career. Everything I've done came with a lot of practicing. I mean, I was right now, I'm one of the few people from the music academy that actually works in music. People that finish jazz academies do other jobs because it's very competitive. It's very hard to really survive as a musician. I think it's not easy. But back then, you would think I was one of the slowest learners, you know. And I mean, I put a lot of time into it. And then on top of that, I always had a vision of not copying other people. You know, there's a lot of people on the circuit that simply copy people that are no longer here, right? And I don't, you know, it's whatever makes it work for you. You know, I don't want to copy nobody. So ever since I started, I was like, man, I love B.B. King and I love Albert King and I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I don't want to copy that, right? So you need to mix it all. You need to mix it all. And I think at some point in my playing, I just let everything go. And again, we're going to go back to the focus on the bass and drums, which is the basic of the song. So also live, I tend to really let myself go and lock in so hard on what the rhythm section is doing. And from there, my licks are coming out. I'm not thinking about the licks. I'm not thinking about the lines. I'm certainly not thinking about other people's lines that I, you know, want to play, but trying to find my own sound.
Yeah, you could tell you have kids. You got the hip phrases, lock in. Yeah, you're locked in. I like that. Solution, what can you tell me about that one? That's a great groove.
It's a great groove. I mean, Solution is amazing.
But what you refuse when we turn against each other, that's when we lose.
Came up with a guitar line, my bassist and I. It's kind of going Santana vibe. It's kind of going that jammy kind of situation. Lots of these songs started with a bass line because I write with my bassist, with Butel. We write all of the songs. And we build the song. That's interesting. It's just two of us and a drummer, right? That's how we started this record. We hire a guy who we like in LA. We play most of the songs. The songs didn't have a beginning or the end, nor really lyrics to it. And we came up with this really grooves that you can't resist. And Solution is one of them. And then we wrote on top of that. But the beginning of the shell of the song had that guitar line and had that mad groove. It's a drive for me to write songs thinking of the live situation. So Solution is also something that you can, of course, listen at home from a CD, but you can also imagine how wild it gets when there is a percussionist, when there's three horns, when there's three singers, and it's a showcase, you know. But it's what it is. I want a record where you press the play button and the groove just jumps out and you can't resist it. It's just such a great, but people associate it with like, okay, there's some Santana going on. There's some, yeah, something like that.
Oh, I so value your time. Thank you so much for everything. Okay. One more on this new one I wanted to ask you about was Hottest Ticket in Town. I know you say service the song, but there's some rip roaring guitar in that one. How did that one come together?
And it's still in the service of the song, in the funk groove.
We've got the reputation, best band in town, with the groove sensation. Oh, get yourself downtown, we're on full rotation. Bringing in a new sound, sell the expectation. It's the hottest ticket in town.
Oh, you know, I started writing with my bassist before Power. I want to say it's probably 6 years ago. So three records ago, this is the first song we wrote. And it didn't make the next record. It didn't make the next record. And the reason it didn't make a record is because it's just as a song, as a production, didn't get there where I wanted it to be. It's a really high energy, cool funk groove, kind of like Prince. That it needed the right production for it. But basically, we're just talking about how, you know, we grew up so far away. He grew up here in Michigan, and I grew up in Serbia, and we had the same upbringing, which is our parents used to party till early hours, And then, you know, my parents used to sneak out, my mom going to her work at 5, thinking, oh my gosh, what the neighbor's gonna say, because they've been playing live music, and they've been, you know, those records were cranked up, and everybody dancing. And we basically talked about it. You know, we basically talked how we were young, we were kids. We were kids, and we were pretending to be the hottest ticket in town dancing. I was dancing on my grandmother's coffee table with a fake microphone in my hand when I was 3, you know. I mean, I remember that as it was yesterday. So we wanted to be musicians, and the song talks about it as growing up and putting mom's wigs and lipstick and everything, and dreaming about being musicians.
Oh, you certainly accomplished that. That's great memories. You're coming back to Columbus, and you probably can't see it behind me. And if I try to pull the laptop, I'd probably pull something out of the wall here. But I got a little poster from a concert you did here at
Oh, okay.
Natalie's in July of 2022. It says, "Only Ohio performance." How about that? A little exclusive. Queen of the Blues guitar with her full band and horns, July 2022. There's another one over here. Oh, wow. This is a special Valentine's Day show on Valentine's Day in 2023. Roundabout way
Oh.
of asking you, like, do you have any special, you know, what do you love about Central Ohio, Columbus specifically? You perform here a lot.
Well, it's the audience, of course. I love the audience. I love it. It's every time we play there, it's always a great feel, and that really what makes it worthwhile for me. The way they respond, and it's always a good night, and we have fun, and that's all you want. You know, we play. I don't know if you've seen my schedule, but we are all over the world, right? All over the globe. So in order for me to really want to come back, is also obviously I have several agencies that put those tours together, but for me it's important that also we have a good time, and that the audience is participating and giving us our energy back, what we put in. So it's always good to be back.
You've collaborated and shared the stage with a lot of energetic, talented people. What was there an interaction, a session, a show that maybe often comes to mind?
Oh, you know, there's been a lot, but you know, I treasure my time with Buddy Guy. That was fantastic to play a few tours with him, Sonny Landreth, and our collaboration in the studio, Joe Bonamassa, Robert Randolph. They're all just incredible people, and when you get them to put a little of their incredible art to your music, that's just as good as it gets.
Listeners share with me all the time how a song, an artist, an album gets them through something. As a musician, as the artist yourself, what does music mean to you? What does it mean to have been involved in it for all these years?
Oh, it's a lifeline. It's a way of life for me, for sure. And it definitely got me through some very difficult times in my life, when I was struggling with health, and you know, it pulls me through. And I definitely write about it on the records, and I talk about it. And it's really a message to everybody. You know, life is gonna throw something at you at some point in your life, and then you're gonna have to deal with it. But it's definitely much easier to deal with it if you got a passion. For me, it's my guitar and my music. And again, that's where I say, when the times are tough, this is who I am. I can do everything around me. I can be a mom, I can be a partner, I can, but when it's about what do I want, it's my moment, my time with my music, and me writing, composing, thinking about music, that really definitely sets me straight.
Anna, thank you so much for your time and for all the music that you've created over the years. You've enriched many lives, so thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, looking forward to the performance, and appreciate you calling.
I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Colombia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.